Welcome to Community Roundup, the program which brings you news from community organisations, health support groups and services, and other information of interest to the print handicapped.
I'm Sandra Purser, and I'm speaking today with Tom Duncan, Clerk of the Legislative Assembly. So welcome to 1RPH. Tom, would you like to tell us a little bit about the Assembly and your role as the Clerk of the Assembly?
Certainly, Sandra, and thank you very much for having me. So I'm the Clerk of the Legislative Assembly. Each of the parliaments around Australia has a clerk, and that person is responsible for ensuring that the Assembly functions effectively and efficiently. Yeah, the clerk provides advice to members of the Assembly, make sure they get paid, keeps all the paperwork, processes all the legislation that's passed, all the papers that are tabled to the Assembly. And we also provide an education role to try and get people to be aware of the Assembly and what it does. And, of course, the Assembly's coming up to a very important time in October when we elect 25 members, which is the first time it's ever had 25 members.
How is the Assembly different from that of other state governments?
Well, that's a good question. The Assembly is different in that it's a unicameral parliament, so there's only three unicameral parliaments in Australia. That's Queensland, Northern Territory and us. But it's also different in that we have local government and state-type functions. So we do the roads, rates and rubbish, but we also do education, health, justice. And we're the only government or the only assembly in Australia that does those two levels of government into one. And I guess because we're relatively small in comparison to, say, Northern Territory, which is huge, we're able to do that. The other big difference is that we don't have a representative of the Crown here in the ACT. So whereas in Northern Territory you have an administrator, or in Queensland and New South Wales you have a governor, and of course federally you have a governor general, we don't have that representative of the Crown. So we're quite unique in that respect.
So who signs off on the legislation, gives assent to the bills?
So I sign off on every law that's passed in the Territory, and I give that law to the Speaker, and then the Speaker signs a letter transmitting that law to the Parliamentary Council, and that effectively is what assent procedure is that other states and territories in the Commonwealth has. It's the act of the Speaker sending it to the Parliamentary Council, which makes it law in the Territory. And the Parliamentary Council puts it up on the internet, and it's accessible for everyone. So, yes, it's a very different procedure to, for instance, the House of Representatives and the Senate, who get the Governor-General to sign the laws and give it royal assent. We don't have that procedure at all. It's very different.
The Assembly faces election every 4 years, and I understand that it's due on the third Saturday in October. I'm not sure how that's been arrived at, but the current Assembly is currently in recess. What is different about the next election?
Well, Sandra, you're quite correct. The Assembly is in recess. It last sat in August, although it could meet up until October because it hasn't been dissolved, but it's unlikely that it will sit. The date is set in legislation. So the Electoral Act says that there should be elections every 4 years on the third Saturday in October. And the big difference for this election is that there will be 25 members, increasing by 8 members. And instead of having 2 electorates of 5 and 1 electorate of 7, we're moving to a system where we'll have 5 electorates of 5 members to make 25 members. And that puts us in the same space as Northern Territory, which has 25 members, and also the Tasmanian lower house, which also has 25 members in the lower house.
The current Assembly is comprised of 8 Labor members, 8 Liberal and 1 Green. This election, there are many parties and independents standing. How will that work out?
Well, Sandra, you're right. The Assembly's had a long history of having independents and minor parties. The very first Assembly, the Labor Party only received 5 seats and the Liberal Party only 4. So that gives you an indication that there are a whole range of other people making the Assembly work in the first Assembly. I don't know who's going to win after the 15th of October, but I think it's likely that there'll be at least one independent and possibly more. Whether they're green or independent, it will be interesting to see. And at some stage after we meet after the 15th of October, we first have to elect a Speaker, but the second thing we have to do is elect a Chief Minister. And whoever can muster 13 votes will become the Chief Minister of the ACT.
So the Chief Minister is actually elected by everybody in the Assembly, not just the particular party they represent.
Well, each party will have its own leader. So the Liberal Party will presumably nominate their leader. The Labor Party will presumably nominate their leader. If there's a third party that manages to get a swag of seats, they may well nominate as well, although no one's predicting that. But yes, it is a different system in the Australian Capital Territory. In the states and territories and the Commonwealth, the governor or the governor-general or the administrator would call upon the leader of the party with the most number of seats. But here in the ACT, it's decided on the floor of the chamber on the first sitting day. And that's always been the case.
I expect that the expansion of the Assembly from 17 to 25 would provide you with some challenges for accommodation and staffing.
Well, we've had to renovate the Assembly building. Some of my staff, the Office of the Legislative Assembly staff, have had to move out. And we've created 8 new offices on the first and second floor. We've also had to increase the seating arrangements in the chamber. And we now have accommodation for 25 members in the chamber. So that has put a bit of pressure on my staff to accommodate both the work being done in the Assembly over the last 18 months or so, but also going forward, we're going to have to make sure that we're ready to give advice to... It's effectively a 46% increase in the size of the Assembly. So all of the Office of the Legislative Assembly staff, which is the team that I head, will be certainly providing a lot of advice and support to those newly elected members, plus the ones that might get re-elected after October.
I was wondering if you could tell us something about the Assembly's twinning arrangement with Kiribati.
So in 2007, it was decided amongst the members of the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association, which is a group of all the parliaments in the Commonwealth, that Australia would twin with Pacific parliaments. And so different states and territories have got different partners. New South Wales is twinned with Bougainville and Solomon Islands. South Australia is twinned with Tonga. And we are twinned with the Parliament of Kiribati. So that has meant that we've had a lot of interactions with the Parliament of Kiribati. We've had a lot of visits. Just this week, I've been asked to send a staff officer to help assist with an induction program, because the Parliament of Kiribati held elections in January this year and they elected 22 new MPs. And those new MPs have never been members before, and so they're trying to learn about how to become a politician in Kiribati. And we're giving assistance in training, telling them how they run an electorate office, how they be involved in chamber operations and committees and such forth. So it's a good relationship, and we're very proud of the work we've done. In the Assembly building, we've actually named one of our committee rooms the Kiribati Room. And if anyone is ever visiting the Assembly, they can come along and visit the Kiribati Room. There's a whole range of artefacts from Kiribati displayed on the wall. And that just symbolises the relationship we have between the two parliaments.
With the federal parliament recently, there's been a lot of attention given to the fact that the newly elected members have had to go to Senate school or parliamentary school. Do you run a training course for your new members?
We certainly do, and we will be running those in October and November after the electoral commissioner has declared the election. So we're guaranteed to get at least 10 new members, and we may even get more depending on whether the sitting members are returned. And we run them over sort of half days. We try not to give them information overload, because to be elected, you don't want to bombard them with too much information, but certainly we'll be running induction programs for those new members. One of the things we do is we run a sort of a mock sitting, and we get them to pass a bill, ask questions, make speeches in the chamber with staff, just to sort of get a feel for the chamber, to get them to understand some of the standing orders that they need to be aware of. So we try and give them as much information as we can to help them take on that very important role that they'll be undertaking as a member of the Legislative Assembly.
I understand that the Assembly has adopted Latimer House principles. I wasn't really aware what Latimer House principles are and how they apply to the Assembly.
Well, you're correct, Sandra. The Latimer House principles was adopted by the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association, and those are a set of principles that set out how democracy should work in its best form. So it provides for things like freedom of the press, an independent judiciary, an effective parliament able to scrutinise the executive, and it's a very high-level document, and we certainly abide by those principles, and we review consistency with those principles every 4 years. We get an academic in to look at the way those principles are handled in the ACT, and they provide a report to the Assembly about how we could do better against those principles. So, yes, we're a very strong advocate for those principles, and we sort of benchmark ourselves against those principles every 4 years.
In speaking to you today, I was hoping that you would be able to give our listeners some indication as to how the role of the Assembly affects their lives and why they should give serious consideration to who they elect.
Well, yes, being a legislative assembly covering both municipal and state type functions, it is a very important role, and everyone in the ACT pays rates, everyone pays taxes in one GST, and all that revenue goes to provide education services, health services, and I'm lucky enough to work with members, all the members, they all want to make Canberra a better place. They've all got different ways about how they want to do it, but that's their ultimate aim, and I think people going to the election will get to choose how they want to make, and there's various different policies out there that people can decide which one suits their particular needs. But it's also after they do get elected, and regardless of who gets elected, a member of parliament is a very important person to go to in case you need redress or in case there's something wrong. You can always write or contact your member of parliament to raise an issue about something that's affecting you. And so it is an important role for people, and people, we try and make members as accessible as possible and try and get people aware that they can go to a member to help them if they have any problems in relation to their particular situation in Canberra.
Any of our listeners wanted to visit the Assembly or get more information, how would they go about that?
We have an education officer in the Assembly, so if people wanted to interact with the Assembly and they didn't want to go directly to a member's office, they could certainly go to our education officer, or to me for that matter, and any member of the staff. And we certainly have run a whole range of programs. We've got a whole range of fact sheets on the website. I think we have some in accessible format. I'll have to check on that. But certainly we try to make our website as accessible as possible and try and engage people in the running of the Assembly. If there is a committee inquiry going in to a certain matter, if people are interested in that, we can certainly provide them with information about what activities are going on in the Assembly. The Speaker, Mrs. Vicky Dunn, has made a strong point of trying to get community groups into the Assembly to show them around the Assembly building, get them to understand what we do in our building. And we're always keen. We run a lot of school debates. We have a lot of school children visit our Assembly to sit in the chamber and act out roles as member of the Assembly, because we think it's important that the youth of Canberra know what the Assembly does, and when they eventually get to vote, they'll be well aware of what they're doing when they vote and the sort of things that they expect their politicians to do.
And is there anything that you would like to say to our listeners?
I would just encourage you to take a strong interest. The Assembly is a very important institution in Canberra. It affects all our lives in Canberra, so I'd encourage you to take a keen interest in the activities. Obviously, look at the policies that suit you and choose wisely, obviously, who you're going to vote for, but also after the election, no matter who gets elected, the Assembly is there to assist you if you need it, and feel free to contact either members direct or certainly the Office of the Legislative Assembly to learn about how the Assembly operates.
Thank you, Tom, very much for coming in today. It's been very interesting and I appreciate the time.
You've been listening to Community Roundup, a program of news and information of interest to the print handicapped from community organisations, health support groups and services. Join us again next time.